Less than that, we have learned three halachas last week. We learned that a child himself is not going to be chayiv afilu bidei shamayim if he is under age of any control, i.e. a toddler. Can't be chayiv bidei shamayim, or even require a tikkun under those circumstances. Whatever shit you hold, you will be not mechuyev under any circumstances. If a child has certain control of his actions and damages, then there's a machlokas where he's chayiv bidei shamayim to pay the whole lot, or he's chayiv to do some sort of tikkun to appease the other side. Machlokas Mishnah Berurah and Rav Moshe Feinstein on that. And thirdly, the chiddush we left off and finished off last week, a chiddush from the Chazon Ish, not like the Evan also, but the Chazon Ish concluded that if a parent is in the vicinity and therefore really the child is under guard from the parent at the time when the damage takes place, and the parent was negligent in leaving the child to his own means in that specific incident, like the classic one in the Makolet, then the Chazon Ish came out and said a big chiddush that the parent is chayiv in shmirah and he didn't look after his child, so the parent is chayiv in that case. Bidei otam, so I'm not sure the basin can force the parent to pay for the damage which his child did under those circumstances. A chiddush from the Chazon Ish in Pesach Ovid.
Can't that apply to the child, the toddler in the park? It was also under guidance. He should have been.
Should have been. Because the Lashon HaChazon Ish is that if you bring the child to an area where you take on responsibility of that child in that area and then you're negligent, then you're going to be chayiv. But if the child goes out, his own means, you're in the house and say, I'm going out to play, then you're not taking any responsibility at that particular time, and therefore you yourself as a parent won't be chayiv for negligence and responsibility. You never took on responsibility in that particular case. That can differentiate where you take him out and therefore you or yourself taking on responsibility in the case where the child goes out by himself.
The child was taken to the park with somebody. There was a 3-year-old toddler.
One of the children are never considered a shomer on the child. Only parents. It's only a relationship between parents and child that can have such a chiv.
Does the Chazon Ish say that chiv is only if you're bringing your child to the makolot, or if I'm bringing somebody else's child?
The implication of the Chazon Ish is only your child.
Really?
Yeah, because there's a halachic responsibility of being an apotropos. That halachic responsibility only applies to parent to child. It doesn't apply to aunts, uncles, or friends, neighbors, type
of. Only the machlokas, we say that, you know, motzi min chaver haraya. Here's the machlokas in Shemayim. So what? So do you then, therefore,
between Mamusha and the Mishnah Berurah? Right. Well, firstly, it's not a machlokas motzi min chaver haraya because it's a machlokas of the latter Doros. Motzi min chaver haraya is only a machlokas in the Shulchan Aruch. After Shulchan Aruch, there's no motzi min chaver haraya. So I have what you hold. I hold, I'm a Talmud of Moshe. I hold like this. I'm a Talmud of the
Chaim.
Like. That's what you hold, yes? So whatever you hold is what you're going to hold in such a case.
And Basin's not involved because it's not a Basin issue.
Well, it may be a Basin issue, and Basin will then have to say, well, we can't machayev you bidei otam, but you are chayev. Then we'll have to say, finish up the sentence. Chayev bidei shamayim, the whole thing, or chayev to do some sort of tikkun to appease the other side. Whoever Basin we are.
And Basin will paskin there.
Yes, the Basin will paskin always what your status is.
Why is the Shulchan Aruch a line of demarcation?
Because that was the Sof Hora. That's after that. There's
so
no.
Ravashi was the Sof Hora.
Not for Piskei Halacha. Ravashi's Sof Hora on how to paskin halacha. The klalim of how to paskin Basroi. You go after Basroi. Who's the Basroi? The last one. Who's the last one? Ravashi, Ravina. Yes. After that, we can't. Say there's later people who are more basroi than him, that we're going to follow them. That's what it means. But in Gidrei Pesach, the Shulchan Aruch was the closure. That's clear from the Nesivos and Sos, explain that the Gidra Pesach or Machlokas stops at the Shulchan Aruch. Okay.
Obviously, the Ramad didn't hold that way. Obviously, the Ramad did not
hold that way. Well, I mean Shulchan Aruch. I mean the Shulchan Aruch, meaning the Machaba and the Ramah, the literal Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Just in time. So before we get to our very interesting case, we're going to have an introduction case. A classic case which happens quite often. What do you feel the halacha is in such a case? A child is playing with his football, kador, and he kicks the ball and he smashes the window. What do you believe in that case, based on the principles we learnt up to now, is the halakha? It's not a 2-year-old child, let's say it's an 8-year-old child kicking a ball around and he smashes a window. What do you believe, on what we learnt last week, should be the statement comes out from the rab?
How did he get the ball?
That's his ball.
Did you parents, give it to him, or did he just...
The parents bought a ball for him, and he plays with a ball.
That's so the parent gave him the ball?
Yeah, it's a present for
so
the ball.
So that's already Aish.
That's Aish.
Yeah, the child is a win.
One can even argue it's almost like the toddler case, which children in a ball automatically their onus at that point. I mean, they're not aware of anything happening beyond them.
So what would the statements come out of based in such a case? How would they say?
You might say he has no das. He doesn't have the ability to think what happens to a ball.
An 8-year-old has the ability. It's telling the machlokas where the person with the child threw the rock and missed the bottle and smashed the window. It's the same case.
So therefore, it's the same case of the rock, and therefore, according to Mr. Feinstein, you have to do some sort of ticket, and according to Mr. Brewer, you have to pay for the shemaim, the child, and therefore, nice thing for the parents to do. Okay. That's why I bought it. So it says, the Gemara, of the Baruch Nochum number one. Baba Kaba Yudzai Nomad Alev. It's also Yutes Nomad Base. Discussions like this. There was a bucket tied to a chicken's leg. The chicken went around with this bucket tied to his leg, and he was jumping around and he was breaking other people's utensils using the bucket. Mishalim chatzi nezik. The halach is, you have to pay chatzi nezik. Half the damage, the value of the damages. Like an ox that goes has to pay half. So the Gemara says, Man chayv. Who's chayv? Ilema bal hadali. Are you going to say the owner of the bucket is chayv? Or are you going to say the owner of the chicken is chayv? So if you're suggesting the owner of the bucket, hey chedomi, what are we talking about? Why should the owner of the bucket be chayv? Eid atzne. Onesu, if the owner of the bucket looked after his bucket in a very good way and somehow the chicken got hold of it, then it's onus. The owner of the bucket is not blamed. How can you blame the owner of the bucket? And if he did not look after the bucket and that's why the chicken got hold of it, he is negligent, and therefore why is he only paying chatzi nezik? He should pay the whole net damage. The owner of the bucket, if he's negligent in not looking after his bucket, that the chicken get hold of it, then he's negligent and should pay the whole damage, not half the damage. Now, why is the owner of the bucket chayv if he's negligent and not looking after it? He didn't look after it. The chicken got hold of it. Chicken smashed everyone's utensils up using the bucket. Up. So the owner of the bucket's chayv for all the damages because he was negligent, so he didn't look after that. Why? Why? What concept?
I'm assuming the owner of the bucket is not the owner of the chicken.
Owner of chicken is a different owner from the owner of the bucket. Yes?
So splitting it then. Didn't we say if two people cause damage together and they split the...
God says, if he's negligent and didn't look after his bucket, then he's going to be chayv for all the damages. The owner of the bucket, not the owner of the chicken. Under what concept is we saying the owner of the bucket is chayv? So, the Gemara, if you look at Maramaka number 2, complicates all our shilas now. It says like this. Tav Chof Beis Omed Aleph, Chof Gimel Omed Aleph, says Rabbi Yochanan, famous machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan says, he lights a fire and he calls damage. Why you chayef? Eish mishum chitzov. Well, because it's like a bow and arrow. You lit a fire and it spreads. It's like you throwing a bow and arrow at the item that gets burnt down. You know why you're fired? When your fire that you lit damages, is because it's your money. Your fire is your money. Therefore, your money damaged you. That's why you're fired. So go out concludes, no, it's not an extreme machlokus. Leman the islay mishum chitzav, islay nami mishum mamona. If you hold that fire is chayv to pay because of arrow, you also hold it's going to be chayv because of the money. The one who holds that a fire is chayv because of bow and arrow also holds that it could be chayv because it's your money. So when you do have enough gemina, to go, when is it only your money and it's not your bow and arrow? Don't show how you lonely get up no gods. There's a fire there. There's a fire there. That you could have put up a fence, you didn't fence. The fence came down and you could have put up a fence. The fence was protecting the fire. So at the time you lit it, the fire wasn't going to cause damage. But then it fell down. And now you should really replace the fence to stop it spreading, and you don't. The horse and shawm, the top of it. It's like now that fire is not your bow and arrow, because at the time you lit it, it wasn't a problem. But it's your money, because you lit it, it's your fire. And now you're going to be hired because of the concept that that fire is belonging to you. Something that belongs to you damages your fire.
And both the people who say that, even Rabbi Yochanan.
It's the Mishonah, yes. Okay. Therefore, Tosus says the reason why the owner of the bucket is chayev, if the chicken gets hold of the bucket that you negligent left around, and the chicken picks it up and now uses that bucket to damage other people's utensils, the owner of the bucket's chayev, because that bucket is esh, and you're negligent in not looking after it. And therefore, when it damages, it's your money called the bucket damaging. The chicken is the wind, and the bucket is the fire. Because you put the buckets in an area where chickens can pick it up and uses it to damage, and therefore the bucket is considered your money under the concept my money is moving and damaging. Okay, I'm chayav mishum esh. That's what Tosfos says, the reason why the owner of the bucket would be chayav in such a case if he doesn't look after his buckets. Because the bucket itself is his bucket moving around and damaging in a normal fashion, because you are negligent, where chickens can easily pick it up and use it as a tool to break other items. So therefore you're chayav. Okay?
So that would only be though if I put it there, correct?
Yes. Yes. You own the bucket, you put it down in the area which is not looked after, which is easily be able for chicken to pick it up, and therefore he picks up and uses to damage other people's utensils. You are the owner of the bucket, give me chayav.
Even though the chicken has no business being on my property.
Yeah. Even if the chicken shouldn't be necessarily walking around in that area, but it's not protected for chicken, obviously.
It's got to be a likelihood that it happened.
In those days, it was obviously a lot
of chicken. I don't think that's a chicken.
But going back to the Gemara's case, the fence was there when you lit the fire.
Yeah, but then it fell down.
Because that was crazy. It normally falls down, it rolls with you kind of thing, or surprise, surprise, the fence fell down. And why is it five at all? Why is that?
Because there a Ruach Mitzuyah fell.
A Ruach Mitzuyah?
Yeah. Now,
why is the owner of the chicken fire? Is it the same? Well, that's...
Because once there's Eish involved, Eish overrides.
Oh, really?
Okay, good question. It's a good question.
What's the question?
Is that at the end of the day, the bucket damaged, but with the help of the chicken. So also the owner of the chicken should be held responsible. So we say, when there's two expressions here, do you get the person who's chayav mishum esh, or the person who's chayav mishum of Karen, over there we say the one who has esh, that's the chiddush over there of Tosus, Abu Shonim argue, and say you do split it off, but That's the chiddush of Tosfos, that Eish over rice and your chayav from the whole thing.
Tongue.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Before it would still be a tongue. Wouldn't split half.
Yeah. Quarter. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Now, says the Gedolei HaDayonim. Therefore, they paskin in this case. Remember, this is a hatoma. Our next case. They paskin in this case. You buy a football, a kadur, a ball for your child. He plays it and kicks it and smashes the window. None of the principles we learned last week apply. You know what they say? The child's not chayv b'dei shamayim. It's not chayv to do a tikkun. But you know who's chayv over here?
The parents.
Why? Because the ball is a. Because the ball is the bucket. The ball is the bucket. And the child is the chicken.
That's not
the
real.
Child is the chicken, and the ball is
the ball. What if the grandparents
bought the ball? That happens 5,000 times. The child kicks a ball and breaks it. I mean, that's not real.
Yeah, it means you should keep the child.
I'm saying the opposite. I think it happens all the time.
You put the ball out.
But what if it wasn't the parents that bought the ball?
We're not saying that you're naughty or for giving him the ball. We're just saying that, you know, you give him the ball, but you've got responsibilities over here. If that ball now would be kicked at a window and break it, you are going to be chayav because your ball, because you're the owner of the ball, would be chayav mishum esh. Your money, your ball, like your bucket, is breaking the window. Who says this? First thing, Mendel Shafran, and Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg. Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg is the son-in-law of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Both of them are machadish, that the ball with the child is like the bucket with the chicken.
So
in economy, we say, we're not saying lock up your child and not give him the ball. We're saying you should know that when you give him the ball, whatever happens, if the child kicks it, which is a quite likely scenario in your head already, that when you give a ball that it could eventually be kicked in a fashion where it breaks something, so therefore you should know you're going to be tired because that ball is the one which has been used to break the item, whatever it breaks.
So what if the grandparents fought on the ball? Parents still hire?
No, whoever owns the ball. Whoever owns the ball. Saves the grandparents. So therefore, I tell you like this. Some presents you give to a kid is still yours and you're letting the kids use. Some presents you give to the kids are totally theirs and it's got nothing to do with whoever gave it.
Right.
How do we define which present is which?
A ball is totally theirs.
Nope. Presents that you pass down from one child to another child means that you're not giving it as a present to the child, you're retaining it as yours, it's for families, meaning it's yours, and it's going to be passed down. Presents which you give to a child which are going to be worn out and not be passed down at all, and only be used by that child, generally are considered it's a present totally that child. The nafgamin in our case is that when you give the ball, are you maintaining ownership of the ball when you're giving it to the child? If so, when it breaks, it's your ball that's breaking the window by the force of your child, and therefore you're going to be high eligible. You're high in that case. Or you give it just as a present, totally to the child, so therefore it's not your breaking it, because you're not the child, and it's not your ball, because you gave it to the child, it belongs to the child. And then, obviously, the halakas will apply, which we said last week, of the child breaking, and what's the halakas of the child breaking is the Mishnah and the Moshe Feinstein over there. Therefore, I say there's a difference between a parent giving a ball and a grandparent. A grandparent that gives a ball has no intention to ever retrieve that ball and get it back. Yes? He is giving that ball to the child, directly to the child, and therefore it's a total present to the child, and therefore if it breaks, it would not be responsible to the grandparents.
But parents,
it really depends on what type of relationship or family they have.
The child can't
own the ball.
Anything the child.
They can't know. We'll learn the halakas of a child, but there are ways of a child owning it, even as underage. That means, like with lulav and esrog. The reason why I don't give my lulav and esrog on the first day to my child who's underage, because once I give it to him, it actually belongs to him, it's nothing to me, and I can't get it back. Because I have given over ownership to him totally. So, similarly, you can give presents over total ownership to a child underage. It's just never, you can never get them back. That's the problem.
But even if a parent gives it over totally to the child, isn't that still Aish?
Meaning it's not his money, yes?
What?
It's not his money.
was his money.
Are we possibly
at the time of the damage?
It wasn't his money anymore. And therefore you can't go back up the hook.
It's like giving the bucket to somebody else, and now somebody else is.
But why is that different than the parent who's watching his kids?
That's just because of shmir on your child when he's in your vicinity, when you're taking him out and you're taking responsibility. Different type of people.
Are we paskin like Rish Lakish that it has to be Mamono to be fighting Mishalesh?
We paskin like Rav Yochanan that holds of both.
So why
he holds of Klitzov and Mamono.
What is the difference who it belongs to then? It's a matter who gave it to the child.
No, Mamono. Klitzov is definitely not Klitzov.
It's not?
No, Klitzov is only if it's a direct. Like more than a rock mitzvah in order to be chitzov, it's the direct action of it. Okay, so now that's our hot topic case. Now let's go back to the case we mentioned last week for you to think about.
This case only came up in this generation. With the ball?
The bucket. The bucket is the ball. So it came in the time of the Gemara.
You're saying Rav Shlomo Nehemiah Goldberg was. What did the previous generation?
Maybe they also had to search for their opinions in there, but I understood that it's...
The kid probably didn't survive breaking somebody else's window.
I don't think any in Europe didn't think they had the concept of playing with stones most of the time. Yeah, in those days. Yeah. Balls are a relative new invention. Now, Mishpachat Reuven are making a bar mitzvah on Shabbos Chanukah. They travel to Yerushalayim to have the bar mitzvah over there with all the family, the greater family, grandparents, everyone. So they want to be in Yerushalayim. They borrow an apartment. It's Shabbos Chanukah. Everyone lights their chanukiyas, they light the menorahs, including the bar mitzvah boy, who's not yet bar mitzvah on Friday. He only comes mitzvah on Shabbos. So the time he lights his menorah, he's under bar mitzvah. And so he lights his menorah, everyone goes off to shul, and they come back, and there's a big fire, and it makes huge damage. After investigation by the fire department, they determined that the menorah, which the child, bar mitzvah boy child, lit, caused the damage, and they determined the time of the damage from the call which they received, that it was already at night when the fire's damaged.
Yeah.
So the question now is, who's going to be chayav over? Can we chayav anybody over? Firstly, the child lit the fire when he was under bar mitzvah. Secondly, it caused damage when he's already over bar mitzvah. Can we chayav the child? But before we discuss that, who does the menorah belong to? Who does the menorah where the fire is lit on belong to?
The people who are in the apartment?
Menorah, the candles, the wicks, the oil, who does that all belong to? No?
The people who are in the apartment?
No, the father.
The father?
The father owns that menorah. That father owns the menorah. The oil belongs to him, the candles belong to him, the wicks belong to him. Yes? He owns it all.
So, wait, was the child even Yotze candlelighting that night? If he lit his menorah when he was still 12, did he light again?
Okay, that's a nice shiner. That's a nice shiner.
Oh, it's Friday night. Okay.
Fine. Now, if the father owned the fire, what should be the halacha? If we're already saying in our first case tonight that, forget about the child who kicked the ball, the father who owns the ball that breaks the window is going to be chayav because his ball mazik. So let's try and say the same over here. Who owns the fire? The menorah, the candles, the wicks, everything.
We're assuming the menorah.
The father. If it's the father, then forget about the child. The one who's tied to the fire that took place is the father.
He owns it.
We're assuming
he owns it. He didn't light it. What's that love for you? You own, you don't light.
We're assuming the menorah.
The whole child doesn't know. Maybe give yourself to the child and he's not going to be able to...
Like I said, the definition over here for sure, this expensive menorah was not given as a present to the child.
But it's going to wear out by the time the candles and the wicks.
No, but the menorah for sure not. For sure not the menorah. Yes?
The menorah is not doing the damage.
The menorah is holding the fire.
It's the candles that did the menorah.
It's like saying the hotel room's causing the damage because it's placed in the hotel room.
And the candles are the father's and the wicks are his father's. Look, the whole thing's his father's. Yeah?
That's going to burn out.
It's worn out. So
gave it a chance.
Are we assuming that the menorah was placed in a negligent position?
Yeah, it was definitely negligently positioned. That's what wasn't stuck in very well.
And the parents were there for the lighting.
Yes,
you have the apparatus of watching him also.
Yeah, they watched it, they saw it and everything. Yes. So, are we going to say that? End of shy, the parents is going to be fine. So there's an interesting Gemara like this. The same Gemara, just further down the daf, Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, it says like this: Tar Shema, Gamal Tom Pishtin. You have a camel. On the back of the camel is flax. But off the Rishus Rabim, and is walking the Rishus Rabim. Nichnasa Pishtino Letochachanut, because the flax is quite wide, it stretches over the back of the camel, it goes into one of the shops as it's walking, the pishdon, not the camel, the flax. And therefore the flax caught fire from a candle which the shopkeeper had lit in his shop. Now that fire was now spread around by the camel, spread it around to all different people's houses. Because as it carries on, he spread the fire around. Okay, so we got a camel with a menorah on top of his back. Yeah? And he's going around, touching all people's houses and setting them alight. So the boss says, Bal Hagamal is Chayv. The owner of the camel is Chayv. Okay? So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand this. Why? Because Bishlom Lamada Esha Mishum Chitzo. If you tell me why when you have a fire, your chayiv, is because it's considered your bow and arrow, so I understand. Then it's Chitz of the Gemara. It's the bow or arrow of the Gemara. It's like the Gemara himself coming up and kicking and breaking things with his legs or with his nose or with his teeth. It's the arrow of the camel, so therefore the owner of the camel's hive, just like if the owner of the camel be hive, if the camel kicks somebody, so the owner of the camel's hive, since the camel lifts somebody's house up, because it's like kicking. Yeah. And the mother Mishumamona, but if you say a fire is only ever chayiv because you own the fire, ha'esh lav mamona tabal gamal. The owner of the camel did not own the fire.
Who lit the fire?
The camel.
What is that?
The owner of the camel did not own the fire.
Why didn't he own the fire?
So what's going on over here?
The source is the chenvari. He now took it.
What do you mean by saying the Gemara says clearly that I own the flax and my camel lit that flax? But it's not considered my fire. Why not? My flax is on fire. I own the flax, it's on fire. It should be my fire, and therefore it's my fire. So I do own it. So why is the Gemara saying that it's not considered the owner of the camel doesn't own the fire? He owns the flax where the fire is. Why not?
Maybe once on fire, it's Hefker. Maybe once it was on fire, it's Hefker. It's like destroyed already.
You try and recover as much as you want. You can. You're not giving up hope.
Whose mammon is it?
So it's the camel's. I don't know. So the Gemara is saying clearly, for some reason, that that's not his ownership. Okay. So let's see the Darki Dovid. Darki Dovid asked the question. And he answers like this. Middle of the first line. Darki Dovid on that omit. Dechilek Godo Yesh Benehem. There's a difference between a bucket and the flat, the bucket, which damages, is your fire. If you own the bucket, it's your fire. But the pishdon, the flat, which damages, not. Yes, chilek. What's the chilek? The bedelil gufa delil hushehizik. I say korach hatana go. With the bucket itself damage, which you own, using the force of the chicken. But the other day, what damaged people's utensils? The chicken force together with the bucket. The actual bucket was the thing which actually broke other people's utensils, which you own. Shemaki choshem telil shelo esho mishum matam esh. Therefore, that bucket you own, so that bucket which damage, which you own, is causes damages, so you, the owner of the bucket, is damaging. Avohocha guf a pishton shusho. Yes, over here the flax is yours, but the guf a pishton, the actual flax, in the mazik club, the flax itself you own didn't actually damage. Elaha eisha ochas babisha. What damage? The fire on top of the flax damaged. Not the flax itself damaged. The flax was just a support for the fire. So as the kivin sha'es lo osa babish, unless since the owner of the flax didn't actually make the fire, so therefore it's not his fire. Ain't a fire. He's not going to be fire. So
well, you can set it by any age. If he takes, it says if he made the fire. What if he take the? What if he purposely took the fire? Is a lit fire? And he takes, his twigs and puts it into the fire. Is that considered making a fire?
Yes.
So the animal, so we get the animal.
Yes, so that's what the animal made the fire. I didn't make the fire.
But your animal.
Okay, so that's what that's a question. Only if I make it, or if my animal makes it. That's
how does my making the fire make it mamoni? How does my making the fire make it into my mama?
Look, I haven't got to that stage. All he's saying.
He's not addressed.
No, all the Tarki Dovid is saying is.
Oh, he's not explaining why it's not Mamono.
It always is saying why the flax is not considered your fire that's damaging. Why? What's the difference between the bucket where it damages it's your fire and the flax it is? So he's saying a very simple thing to understand. The bucket. What actually damaged over there? The bucket itself. You took the bucket and you smashed it against people's utensils, so therefore your bucket damaged. With the flax, it wasn't the flax which damaged. The flax is just holding the fire which, and the fire damages.
The flax is the raw material that keeps the fire burning.
The flax is not the raw material. No, it's not the raw material. It is the support of the fire. The fire was ready lit in the Chemveni shop. In the shop that you were saying, it was ready lit.
Yeah,
and all it
is
that it's been transferred from this support, and that's been supported the fire by the flax.
The fire.
So therefore, wait, when the fire burns down.
There's an analogy here in physics.
Yeah.
When the fire is not dancing around on different surfaces. There's combustion that takes place, and it leads to other combustion, which leads to other
combustion. But it's the end of the day, what he's saying clear, even if you're correct in your physics, it doesn't make a difference to me. It doesn't really make any difference to me. Because at the end of the day, you can still see there's a complete and utter difference, which the Dr. Dov is saying, is that the bucket was the actual item which damaged the person. You took the bucket and smashed with the item and damaged it. So therefore you're the owner of the bucket, so you're fired. It's your fire, so your bucket damaged. Here is your flax which is holding a fire, and the fire is damaging. You're helping the fire continue. It's not your fire that's damaging. It's your flax which is helping the fire to damage. It's the fire that's damaging, not your fire.
This is worse.
Because you... why is it worse? No.
Alright, if you've got somebody else's wagon with a stone stopping it going down the hill and running into damage, doing damage, and you take away the stone from somebody else's wagon...
Yeah, very good. That's if you take away. Let's say I didn't take it away. Somebody else took it away. So I've got nothing to do. Who lit the fire here? Not me, it's the camel.
Well, Who put the wagon there? It's the same thing.
Who lit the fire? The camel.
What difference? The fire's okay. You took the fire.
I have no fire. No, I have a camel who lit the fire.
So the camel is you.
So there we go. Because there's the Gzeres Kosev says, you light a fire, you're chayiv. If your money lights a fire, you're not chayiv. That's a Gemara in, I think, Mentes over, Amud Aleph over there. Then you got the Meimah of Rafa over there that says clearly that if your animal lights a fire, okay, the lamb will light a fire, you're not going to be chayiv. You're only chayiv for your animal if the animal damages. If your animal went and lit a fire, which damages, then you're not fire. You didn't light the fire. Your animal lit the fire. It's to remove for you. It's your fire? No, it's not your fire. It's your flax, which is holding the fire, which was lit by the animal. So you're off. That's the Gemara says. If it's, that's not your fire. Okay. So, let's now analyze our case. We want to say the father is chayiv in the case of the Chanukah. Why? Because he owns the menorah. He owns the wicks and oil, yes. So therefore, it's his fire. Now let me ask you, is that case comparable to the buckets and then you correct, and the football, when you correct, yes, it's the father's item which is damaging, therefore he's responsible. Or is it comparable to the flats where he's saying that the fire on top of it is not his because he didn't lit it, and what he does own is not the fire, it's just supporting and helping the fire to continue. Which one is it comparable to?
Well, actually, I wouldn't be so fast to say that.
Okay.
Because the child lit the fire b'shlich ruso of the father.
Shlich ruso?
Yes, because the child's lighting is a hider of the father's mitzvah.
It's still a mitzvah chinuch.
Forget chinuch, it's a hider of the father's mitzvah.
Yeah, machlok is what mitzvah chinuch is, if it's my mitzvah, it's the child's mitzvah.
Well, certainly with the father's rishus,
permission, fine.
That's different than I'm watching, by accident.
Yes, I'm watching there, like somebody building a bonfire, and I say, go ahead, clapping my hands.
And you're upright for your child.
I'm upright for your child.
We said that already, we were supervising that you're upright.
At the time, there was nothing wrong with it, he didn't damage
it. It was a negligent place.
Yes, but shmir on the child didn't damage.
And if he said to the child, light the candle?
It's like the animal. Yeah, it can't be worse. The child is not worse than the animal. If my animal damages, you're right. Because I'm supposed to look after my animal, and my animal damages, and therefore I'm negligent. But here, my animal didn't damage. My child didn't damage. What did they do? They lit a fire which damaged. So it's the same gazeres of gossip. My animal that lights a fire, I'm not responsible on the fire, I'm responsible on the child. On the animal, not on the fire of the animal, over the fire of the child. So over here, yes, I'm watching it, seeing it, and see it's negligence. My actual ownership here is the menorah and the candles, which is not the fire, it just helps the fire. The actual fire was not lit by me, but just been supported and clapped my hands at me. But I didn't actually light it, it's my child who lit it. And yes, I know that I didn't look after him in allowing him to light it. But the other day, still got the same gazelle's gossip. It's not my fire, it's my child's fire. My child's fire, I'm not chayv on child's fire. I'm chayv on child's damage, not child's fire.
The difference between the animal and the child.
Okay, but you're saying shlichus again. We have a problem. You're saying he's a shlichus. Ain't shlichus the kotzam? There's no shlichus. Fine, I told him to damage. What happens when I tell somebody to damage? Okay, I tell him to damage. What happens if I tell you a child to damage? What's our lock if I tell my child to damage? What? Mach Locus was showing him whether in that case we say yesh shlichus in such a case because the child's going to listen to you or not. It depends on the concept of why ein shliach tivar vera, because divrei talmud and we say, well, child's not going to listen to God's word.
But if
you hold to the other concept, then you honor. Mach Locus was showing him.
If you tell a child not to damage, he may or may not listen to him. If you tell him to damage, there's a chance he won't listen to him.
Yes. That's the sad one mission that says, called the Ritva, in Gemara and Kedusha, that says, you're right, you're chayv in such a case, because he's definitely going to listen. But if the reason is, Ein Shlichus D'Avera, it's not because of that. Stop, it's not Shlichus D'Avera, he's doing something, I'm not
saying you give your child a ball, you're chayv.
But not because of the child, because of the ball.
Because you own the ball.
Because you own the ball, you don't own the fire. That's the whole thing, what we're saying now. Shlicha is no shlicha, my child. Is that for the rikva? Yeah? Menorah, the menorah is not the fire, it's supporting it. I, negligence on the child, that I lamsified the fire. Okay, I'm tired with my child damage, not my child lit a fire. Child lit a fire, God says, gossip. Child fire is not my problem, so therefore, father off the hook. Now we have to discuss the child.
What is ownership of the fire?
Oh, so now we're going to discuss what is ownership of the fire. We're going to discuss what ownership of the fire is. First, we're going to now analyze, is the child's height? Because the time of the damage took place, he was bar mitzvah.
So the father's definitely off the hook?
At this stage, she's definitely off the hook. Yes. Okay. Okay, let's move to our third shaila. Also Maaseh Shehaya, which will also give answers to this shaila. Not a very nice Maaseh. I'm telling you, warning in advance, it's not a nice support.
Wait a minute. The family stayed in this apartment.
Everyone went out.
What?
Everyone went out. They went to the.
No, but they were staying in this apartment for free?
Well, they were borrowing the apartment, yes.
So he's a shoal, he's chayim and everything.
Pardon?
He's chayim and everything, he's a shoal.
Ain't shmir bakaka.
What?
Ain't shmir bakaka.
Ain't
shmir bakaka.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's all different. Sugi of shoal and shmir with the same when you get to that. Okay. Next sipur. Somebody's driving on the major roads. I can't remember which road it is, so I'm just going to call it Kvish Achat. Yeah. And in the middle of the road, the car stalls. In the middle, not on the sides. The car's stalled as it's gone round a little bend. So, the owner of the car, in the car is, let's say, Reuven, who's driving the car, and he's got his mishpacha also in the car. Reuven admits stalls, so what do you do? He goes, gets out of the car. As he gets out of the car, there's a big truck that comes around the corner, doesn't see him, and hasn't got time to get out of the way, and knocks him over and kills him. That's why I said it's not nice to see Paul. Bedtime, obviously the family are very emotionally stricken by such events at that stage, and the car stays in that position for minutes or so. And then another car comes around the corner and hasn't got enough time to swerve out of the way, and therefore goes into the car which is stalled and gets very damaged. Right. Now in Basin. Who's in Basin? Shimon, the car that went around the corner and couldn't avoid, is making a claim against Reuven's family.
Help with the shliach.
What?
Help with the shliach.
So, yeah. What's his claim? He's saying is that you put a bar b'rishus harabim, and therefore you have to pay for the damages to my car.
Who put a bar b'rishus
harabim? The family that had his car stolen.
The family wasn't driving. Okay.
So what exactly is he claiming over here? You say, look, the car was put over there, and that was done in a fashion where it's dangerous for the public, and therefore it damaged me, and therefore I want you to pay. That's his claim. Who's his claim against?
The estate. Right.
What?
The estate.
Who's chayes that we can claim the estate from?
Reuven.
Okay.
Well, he was an honest.
Reuven or not?
But by accident, only you're still high for Nezek by accident.
Not accident, honest. He's an honest. He had no choice.
He's full of honest.
Who's high for him? Who's that? Let's discuss. Let's say Reuven. Let's look at him. Maybe he's high. So look at that Talmud Yishami. Sex was Gittin. It's a Maaseh Shehaya, this is. Perikei. Says Reb Lezer. B'shem Reb Gisa.
But he didn't see the truck when he was coming around the bend?
It wasn't.
The truck was still there?
Mm-hmm.
The truck was still there?
How come it moves on? Reb Lezer B'shem Reb Gisa. B'shechofa Oviv Bo. V'chizik B'chai Oviv. if a father, let's say Reuven, dug a bore and it damaged that bore, that whole damage in the lifetime of Reuven, then Noflo no lochosim acha misses of it, and then the Yoshim inherits property from their father. Then I would suggest that they have to, the Yoshim have to pay for damage which their father did in his lifetime. Father did damage and they inherit property from them. So even though he's no longer alive, they still have to pay damage for what their father damaged. He damaged, I have to pay with the inheritance I get. Okay. What do we see from here? What do we see from here? In order to be chayev, the father, that we should say there now should be a lien on all this property, and therefore the Yerushim have to pay using that property. It has to, says the Yerushalmi, that he digs a bar when he's alive, and when does the actual damage has to take place? Also when he's alive. If the damage, he dug a hole when he's alive, but the damage only took place after he's already dead, no chiyuv. Muki Yosef is the diagnosis from Yerushalmi that that's the halacha. A father who digs a hole in his lifetime, but the hole only damages after he dies, then the father's not chayv. Okay? So the father's not going to be chayv in this case. He was killed, unfortunately, before the damage took place. What about the children? What's the shaila with the children? Why should we say the children should be alive?
Reuven's family? Reuven's family?
Yeah, Reuven's family. Why should we say that they have?
They inherited a bar.
They inherited the bar. What's the bar over here?
The car.
So they own the car. As soon as he died, the family now own the car. The car is now a bar.
That's even more.
And they don't remove it. And if they don't remove it, it's there.
They can't even drive it.
If it's their bar, which is now damaging the car. Right, but they own it.
So if somebody takes your thing and puts it somewhere, what have you got to do with you?
I own it now.
But if somebody took it, did somebody ask you?
Can I remove it?
No.
They definitely can't.
They could.
They couldn't have removed it.
If they had the emotional control of themselves, they could have moved it at that time.
How long would it take to move it?
A few minutes.
The same Yerushalmi would seem to imply that they're not chayv. The same Yerushalmi would seem to imply they're not chayv.
So says the Hasvi. The Hasvi says some here. He says, you know what? Even the children are not going to be chayv. Why? Because you've got a concept. He says, where do we know that a bar is chayv? Says the Gemara Pesachim, he says like this. That the Omer Pesachim, Shnei Tvarim, Einu B'Shusha Otom. Two things a person doesn't own. The Echad Mehem is bar B'Shusha Rabim. He doesn't really own the bar, which he dug in the Shusha Rabim. The Chobin Ein Bar Zeh Shalom Klau. Rachidish Yuchidshu Torah. Just the Torah says that even though you don't own it when you dig the hole, but you're going to be chayv for any damage, because the Torah makes it yours. Why does it make yours? Because Ayidei HaKriya, because you're the one who dug it. So the kids, the Hasri says somewhere here, that the chiyuv of a bar is only ever going to be chayv if you dug the bar. Not just you own the bar. Own the bar is never the reason why, because you own a hole, therefore you're going to be hired for damages to that hole. That's not a reason. The only reason why a hole that damages your chayv is because you actually created the hole. If you created the hole, you're chayv. You didn't create it, but just own it, you're not chayv.
So tell that Afkarino, the whole thing by Dorsh, whether Afkarino or not, if he still owned the thing there,
right? If he's still but older,
he has to create it first. Says there's a condition in being chayv. It has to start, and if you don't have the starting point, then there's nothing to talk about. It means you have to actually dig the hole. Now you dig the hole, then you can be chayv. But if you didn't dig any hole, you can never be chayv, because it's only considered yours and your responsibility if you dig it. Just ownership is not enough. To be considered a chance for you to be chayv, you have to actually create the damage. If so, says Rabbi Sri Bessis Frank, therefore, in this case, who dug the hole in our case? The father. Is the father chayv? No, because only damage after he dies. Is the children chayv because they own it, even though they could remove it, but they own it, did they actually dig it? No, so therefore, neither the father or the children are going to be responsible.
And the children don't have the fiyuv to remove the bor, which is their property?
It says, Frank, the only way you're going to be chayev is if you actually dig it. Just because I own it and see it and don't remove it, doesn't make me chayev. I have to actually dig it in the first place. So according to Sri Bessa Frank, no one's chayev. We're going to finish tonight, Bechel Shmuel, and I'll leave you on limbo.
Oh, no.
For the other cases. With the Maror Mochel or Bechel Shmuel.
Is this case done, though? The car case is done?
Nope. This is the Bechel Shmuel. The car case is done with the Bechel Shmuel. Says the Bechel Shmuel. Shikriyas Abba ain't a type of Tinsham. I argue fundamentally with the Hasvi, with Sufes of Frank. I hold, says the Beit HaShmol, that digging is not the reason why you're chayv. If you dig it, you don't dig it, it's not interesting who dug it. I don't care who dug it. And it's an asset, say, Mamono this chayv Shmuso. If it's yours, then you're chayv. Digging in the Rishus HaRabim, since you can't own the Rishus HaRabim, so in order to consider it yours, you have to dig it. But if you own it even without digging it, you're also going to be chayev. Because the main thing of being chayev is ownership of a dangerous item. You own it, you see it, you don't remove it, even though you didn't create it, you're chayev because, even though you didn't dig it, because you own it. Why do you need digging? You only need digging when you can't own it. Like in Rishus HaRabim, you can't own Rishus HaRabim. So in order to be chayev, you have to actually dig it to consider it like yours. But if you own it intrinsically, then even if you didn't dig it, but just didn't remove it, then you're going to be chayev, because Rabbi Yechon Shmuel says, the chayev is on owning it, not on digging it. So we have a machlokas between the Yechon Shmuel and Sri Bessa Frank, whether you own a dangerous item, but you didn't actually dig it, create it, are you going to be chayev or not? According to Sri Bessa Frank, you're not going to be chayev because you didn't dig it. According to Rebbe Shmuel, even if you don't dig it, but you could remove it and you own it, then you will be chayev. So therefore, in our case, it ends up a machlokas, whether the children or the Yoshim in that case are going to be chayev or not.
Since they didn't pay yet, they don't have it.
And therefore, you're not going to be chayev. Because of Hametzim and Chavei Olavarai. And such a concept in Svar. Pardon? Yeah, there's no such thing as a Talmud of Birchel Shmuel, or if you're not Talmud of a Sri Bessa Frank of Birchel Shmuel, yeah, and you're outside, therefore, I can't machmir. What does that mean? I can't decide. The Dayanim themselves can't decide which Shitta is the one which is halacha.
Maybe they can. Maybe they learn up the sugya and they learn like.
Maybe they will. That's what I'm saying. In this particular case, they paskens. That we can't machayev the children, not because they're definitely not chayev, because we can't machayev, we can't decide between the Birchel Shmuel and Peace Prince of Chayev, who's the correct shitta.
We don't take into account at all the fact that they're honest because they're shocked?
No.
Yeah. Or the original stolen, like everyone was saying against me, there's onus.
So I'll leave you with just one point to think ponder. And that's where we finish it. Back in our case, lit the fire when he was under bar mitzvah. It caused damage when he was actually bar mitzvah.
Sounds like same focus.
will it be dependent on the machlokas here between the Birchei Shmuel and Tzvi Pesach Frank?
Totally
discuss it, argue about it. Have a good
tired?
Discussion on Shabbos with all your family about it. Come up with some sort of conclusion next week, and maybe we'll be successful in getting a real son.
I was looking up a couple weeks ago, I said,